back in the neighborhood for you, how did the people in the neighborhood treat you and your family?
Some of them moved out immediately. One neighbor, obviously neighbors, because it was husband and wife, would not allow their children to play with our children next door to us. Others welcomed us. One neighbor in particular, Larry Schwartz, was a welcome wagon, brought over food and refreshments and said, "Well, I'm glad that you're here." Dr. Mary Abbott, one of the foremost pediatricians in the neighborhood, said, "Don't know if you have someone for your children, but I'm volunteering." So all in all, the neighbors who remained became very good friends.
Then when you went out to get services in the community, go to a barber or a beautician?
They were not there. Barbers and beauticians said that they couldn't do anything with black hair.
They wouldn't even cut it?
No, they said they didn't know how to do it.
How did you take that?
I went to Oklahoma City, as the students did. It was more problematic for the black females. If they didn't do it themselves, it didn't get done in Norman. They would have to go to Oklahoma City, and if it was a very special event, they would make a special trip to the beauticians in Oklahoma City. We were a self-contained community here. We had to be. There were campus corner restaurants and bars that would not service the black students. There were so many episodes where they would go and sit and sit and sit and sit and not be waited on. So finally they decided that they would have their own equivalent of restaurants, and they cooked up their meals and they had their parties. And we became a family that way, an extended family.
So the restaurants actually moved to backyards for barbecues and things like that?
Absolutely, yes.
Remember seeing signs, no colored here or anything like that? There was anything like that?
Didn't have to do that. More sophisticated than that. You can go and sit and not be waited on. Or they could take your order, and by the time that you got it, it was cold. Or it wasn't what you ordered. Or you were charged extra. Or some rude and crude individuals would say, "Get out of here," and use that N-word.
But amongst the white folk, racism really wasn't talked about, was it?
No. No, no. This is a university town and community. You have to remember now, we're more sophisticated than that. We find ways, we meaning the individuals who didn't want us, we find ways of keeping you out and denying you by not even acknowledging you. Or if we talk about you, we talk about you where you can't hear us.
The Supreme Court dealt with Oklahoma race cases. That's by law. What's going on in a person's heart can't be regulated by the Supreme Court.
No, but you can regulate behavior. At some point, you have to serve me. You don't have to like it, but you must serve me.
And so that was corrected.
That was corrected. It was corrected because finally, when the loonies who were denying us service realized that our money spends just like anybody else's money, and the more of our money that they took while we were occupying that seat meant that they had more profit, they finally came around and said, "Okay, don't like it, but hey, money's money."
First black student admitted to the University of Oklahoma was?
Admitted by law, Ada Law Scipio Fisher, who enrolled was McLaurin.
George McLaurin.
Yes.
And had that happened when you were here?
No, that was before.
They both were before
both
you?
Both was before.
Right. And she was the first black law school student.
Yes. Oh, Ada Lewis and I became very, very good close friends.
And real quick, her story is very interesting, how she was admitted, but she had to sit outside. Can you tell me that story?
Both Ada Lewis and George McLaurin, when they were admitted, they had special areas that they were assigned to. Well, the students quickly said this is nonsense, and they broke those barriers. To have a corner of a room partitioned off.
Partitioned off?
Yes.
So it was like a wall. It
yes.
was their own little office.
A little office.
Within a classroom.
Within a classroom. That was McLaurin's experience in particular.
Could hear the professor
could
speaking.
Hear, could see the professor. Then the students said, "No, no, no, this will not stand."
So it came from the students.
Yes.
So you break down those walls.
They broke down those walls.
Right.
Hatred dies hard, if it dies at all.
So the whites were not accepting blacks as equal throughout. I mean, we talk about Norman, but it was throughout the state.
It was throughout the state.
I always like to say that Oklahoma is where the South begins.
Read our state constitution before it was changed. There was very little difference between the Oklahoma constitution and Mississippi, Alabama. Pick out a southern state. The constitution is about the same.
But there were prominent blacks living in Oklahoma City.
Northeast Oklahoma City.
I think they were counting on you to do great things in Norman and on the campus.
They had decided that George Henderson was going to be their champion before George Henderson realized that he was going to be their champion. And they invited Barbara and me to many activities. In that relationship, they made it very clear, in so many words, they made it clear that their expectations were that I would do whatever I could to open up opportunities for the black students. Barbara would do whatever she could to open up opportunities for non-students. We did that with their support and with their cheering.
Yeah. You did meet Clara Looper?
Oh, good gracious, yes.
Briefly tell us about her.
Once again, I was extremely naive. I knew I was having meeting with individuals who I perceived to be prominent black Oklahomans, but I didn't know that they were the prominent black people in Oklahoma. Ada Laura Scipio Fisher, Clara Looper, it just goes on and on. You think of someone like who's who in black Oklahoma City at that time. They were the ones who invited the Hendersons to have parties, to go to church with them.
So in a way, you didn't know how fortunate you were.
Did not know it, but I found out quickly.
Summarize Clara Looper and what she meant to the state.
Clara Looper was indeed the foremost advocate and proponent of civil rights, not just in Oklahoma City, but in Oklahoma, who, with children, with the youth group of the NAACP, opened up the restaurants and the other public places, and then challenged the adults to fight for equal opportunities and jobs and other things. Clara Looper is really our champion, our Miss Civil Rights of Oklahoma.
Our Rosa Parks.
Indeed. They decided that they were going to go and sit. And they were going to sit until someone served them, knowing that no one was going to serve them. She got the children, she said, because she realized that if you can convince young people that they are involved in a cause greater than themselves, and because they are young, they're willing to sacrifice what they don't realize that they're sacrificing. So therefore, in talking to scores of individuals that I met later when they were adults, they said, yes, we were willing to go wherever Claire said that we should go, and we were willing to suffer whatever we thought was going to happen to us, but we had no idea what was going to happen to us because we were young. And once the negative things happened to them, they said, they became even more convinced that this was the right thing to do.
That became a national story then when she sat at that lunch counter
yes.
with the children and would not move.
And would not move.
She was eventually served or?
Eventually the store said, yes, we can't have this. It's hurting business. The bottom line, why is it that it always comes down to business, but it does? At some point, let's move on. Let's move past this. We've taken our position. We've made our stand, the store patrons and owners said, but now's the time for us to get back to making money.